Your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 as we continue our discussion and series, Your Life. Today I want to talk to you about reality. Everybody's reality is unique to them by the way they look out on the world. However, there is a reality that is true for us all, no matter how we see the world. And I want to talk to you this morning about the idea and the concept of the biblical reality that God gives to His church to allow them to stand strong in the midst of trials and struggles and troubles that they may face. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we have initially an uplifting reality that comes to us. Let me read and you follow along. Verse 3, praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in His great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What I want you to see is that the first uplifting reality for the people of God, every Christian, is that God has done something very powerful through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as we think about the resurrection, I want you to look at verse 3 and underscore or circle the words that we see: because of God's great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope. God's great mercy, a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is what gives us hope. It is what gives us a new birth, and it is all from the merciful hand of God. And whenever Christians embrace that reality, that uplifting reality, it brings them in their spirits to a place of praise. And that is exactly what Peter is reminding the Christians that he's writing to. You are going through troubles and you are experiencing trials because uniquely of your Christian faith. Right now, because of the coronavirus, we are all experiencing trials. And Mike is right when he says people are more fearful, there is anxiety, and there is much more stress. However, you and I know, as we looked at last week, that God holds our lives in His hands, that He ordains the number of our days. And so who better to find rest and peace in than Almighty God, the creator and maker of all things, that holds your life in His hand. So whatever may come, whether we are to live or to die, as Paul would say, it is all gain. And if I am to die and leave this world, how much greater is that? We don't live in that spiritual reality most of the time, but that is the spiritual reality. And this morning, and as we go forward in our Christian lives, I just hope and pray that because of what God has done through the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, that you will cling to His mercy and all that it has given to you. It is an uplifting reality that we all have as children of God. He continues on with this uplifting reality for those who are Christians in verse 4 when he writes, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. This inheritance. You and I, in our lives, your life, my life, as Christians, have an inheritance that is promised from God. And that inheritance is abundant, but it's an inheritance that starts with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it is a promise to us that we too, in the end times, will be resurrected and given a new body, and that we will be with the Lord and see Him face to face to live for eternity. That is an uplifting reality, to know that this world is not all there is, that there is so much more than what this world has to offer, and that is God's promise that if you belong to Him, if you confess His name, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you have the promise and the hope of this inheritance. This inheritance, it's interesting the word that Peter uses. He said it's kept for you there. What that is to say is that we have it, but we don't have it in its fullness yet. It is kept there, and it is preserved. It doesn't perish. It doesn't spoil. It doesn't fade. The actual word in the Greek text for perish is literally, it is imperishable. That is to say that it never wears out, and it never gets old. The word for spoil is literally undefiled, to say that it never goes bad, or it's not affected by sin. Praise the Lord for that. And this last word, fade, is to show that it's unfading in the sense that it does not change in its beauty. The beauty of the inheritance is unfading. It is everlasting. And that is the inheritance that God has for His people. Maybe you're tuning in to this Facebook live stream for the first time. And maybe you are really questioning what's going on in the world and you don't have the peace that you wish you had. I am telling you, look to Jesus. Reach out to the Father in prayer. Ask God to touch your heart and show you the Savior. Read the Scripture. Go through the Gospel of John and just read what God has accomplished through His Son. There is a gift for you, an eternal gift, and God wants you to have it, but He wants you to look to His Son to find it. This idea of kept. Not too long ago, at losing both my parents, I was back in southern Illinois, and I was walking the property that I'd grown up on. It's the only place and home that I'd ever known. And I'm walking on this 7-acre plot of land, knowing the next day I'll sign the papers to let it go. And it was one of the most difficult things I'd ever faced. It was difficult because that property reminded me so much of my mom and dad. That property reminded me so much of my life, so many experiences. And it was just hurting to think that once those papers were signed and I left that little town, that that place was no longer mom's or dad's or ours, my brothers and sisters. And I just, Lord, help me to let it go. And then I believe God put something in my heart. He put a song in my heart, of all things. What song came to my mind was, Patrick, this world is not your home. Remember that song, that old hymn, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And it hit me in that moment that as much as I've loved the Lord with my life, the difficulty in letting go of the home place, was because of the outlook of my reality that this was everything to me. But God was saying, Patrick, this is a temporary place that I blessed you with, and you've had great memories, and you've had memories of troubles and heartaches on this place. It's been a full life experience, but this place is not your home. Your home is kept for you in heaven. And I thank God for that, because I am reminded all the time, in every situation, no matter what trouble or what trial comes, this world is not my home. And brothers and sisters, if you belong to the Lord, if you're His, this world is not your home. Your home is secure in heaven and is waiting for you at the return of Christ ultimately. And so I remind you of that. Notice in this text it says, you are shielded by God's power through faith. This word shield really jumped out at me this week as I would go to the grocery store and see so many people wearing face masks. You know, whether it's the M95 face mask or a homemade face mask or whatever it was, they're just trying to shield themselves from catching this virus or passing it to somebody. But here the idea is that God is our shield through the trials, the tribulations, the struggles, the heartaches, the hurts, the pains, and the losses. He's our shield. And that shield of His power comes into our life as we have faith and trust in Him. And because of the faith and trust in Him, His strength and His shield brings us peace and brings us calm. And so I want you to know that is an uplifting reality. But the uplifting reality begins the transition in verse 6. Peter writes in the very beginning of verse 6, in all this you greatly rejoice. Because of the uplifting reality and everything that Peter's talked about, he closes that thought temporarily to say, this brings a heart and a spirit of rejoicing and praise to God. But then we come to what I have termed a sobering reality, a reality that is difficult even for those who have faith, and I think impossible for those who don't have faith in God. He says, though now, there's the transition, for a little while, a short time, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. We're going to talk about this concept of struggling and how to handle grief more this coming Wednesday night at 7 p.m. So we ask you to join us for that Bible devotion. But look at that verse 6b, that second part of the text. Though now for a little while, you may have had to suffer all kinds of trials and griefs. This world, the reality of this world, is it is hard. The reality of this world is people get sick and people we love die. And we lose things. There is the uplifting reality. And there is this sobering reality. And the uplifting reality is all the wonderful things God has promised and is doing for His people. The sober reality is that we are going to have hardships and difficulties in this life. Jesus never denied that. Jesus said, in this life, you will have troubles. But the real question that you have to ask of yourself for your life is, do you want to go through these trials and troubles and difficulties on your own? Or do you want to go with them holding the hand of Jesus? I have chosen that I want to go through these trials clinging to the Lord. And I pray that you will make that decision, that you will pray, Father, I don't want to do this alone. I want you. As bad as this pandemic virus is all over the world, we all know because we see it being used in a way that is changing people's mindsets and hearts. It's given us a common denominator to talk to others if we are out walking, still 10 foot in distance, social distancing. But you can ask someone, how are you holding up? And they say, doing good. It's nice to be out. It's given an opportunity for people to have live streaming services all over Facebook, praising God, teaching the Word. And so God is using a sobering time to do some uplifting and powerful things. I say again, I hope that you will maybe get on your knees right now, bow your head, lift your hands in the privacy of your home, and ask Jesus to be a part of your life and to take hold of you so that you don't have to go through this alone. There is an uplifting reality, and there is a sobering reality. And we can survive the sobering reality if we have Jesus in our life. He continues on with the sobered reality in verse 7, and he says there is a purpose for all that God is doing in the sobering times of our lives. These have come so that's the purpose, that's the reason, so that the proven genuineness of your faith, that is to say, that you are being tested. God does test his children. He puts us in situations for the purpose of looking to him, relying on him, and to come through that trial more reliant and dependent on God. That is a good thing. God makes us stronger through the trial. However, if you don't look to God, the trial may make you weaker, make you more vulnerable, make you doubt God. So we are proving in this life, no matter what we face, the loss of a spouse, the sickness of a child or a grandchild, the loss of whatever it may be in your life, we are being tested so that we can prove to ourselves and God sees that we are trusting him as we go through the difficulty. He goes on that this faith and this trust that we have in God is more valuable than gold. And talks about how gold can be boiled down and all the elements that would come out to make it more pure. But he says your faith is so important that it never ever perishes, and it is being refined like the gold by the trial that you are going through. And the ultimate result that God is working towards in your life is, the very end, so that in praise, glory, and honor, you will have now and more fully when Jesus Christ is revealed. Listen to that. The idea that God is using what many people think is just disastrous. He uses it to make the Christian stronger, to make the Christian look to him and truly lean on him and not their own understanding. That brings me peace, and I hope it brings you peace, that no matter what you're going through, as sobering as it is, you know that God is using it to make you stronger. But there is an uplifting and ultimate reality. And that's what I want to close with here this morning. God brings it all together in verse 8 and 9. He says this, you love him even though you've never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust in him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your soul. This is God bringing together the ultimate reality, which is an uplifting reality. And the promise here is, as we see it in its absolute fulfillment, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, because of our continuing in faith, continuing in trust, we will receive that ultimate reward, the salvation of our soul. That we will be with the Lord in heaven for all eternity. So I say to you this morning, there is an ultimate uplifting reward in this life. And we are able to discern that because of the trust we have in God's Word. And I'd like to say one more thing before I close. The people that Jesus was teaching, they saw him face to face. You and I haven't done that. We still love him, though. And we still have this glorious and inexpressible joy that causes us to rejoice. But Jesus says this to his disciples that saw him face to face. In John chapter 20, verse 29, he tells them, "Because you have seen me, you believe." And then he says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." I encourage you this morning to trust in Jesus. I encourage you to take steps each day of trusting him more. And that is our prayer for you. Would you pray with me as we close? Father in heaven, we thank you for your reality, a reality that's birthed deep in our spirits and that makes us rejoice in good times and bad. We just pray, Father, that your Spirit continues to move and touch the hearts of people so that they will stand up and make the great confession that I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I believe, God, that you raised him from the dead. This is our prayer, Father, and it is in Jesus' name that we pray, and together we say, Amen.